Welcome back to Eco Talk. I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg. And before we get into our interview in this third segment, which I think you're going to really enjoy, it's very timely, want to just mention something that our folks, our friends over at Grist, want to let you know about. The folks at Grist, our friends at Grist. It's their sweepstakes, and you can find out more at grist.org. And of course, if you don't know, Grist is a fabulous online source for environmental news and views, and their slogan is gloom and doom with a sense of humor, which is our approach here. We try to lighten it up wherever possible. It's certainly entertaining reading. They have commentary, they have humor, and now they have sweepstakes. They're giving away a 9-day eco trip for two to Peru. The trip will take you to the Amazon to discover Machu Picchu, which I understand you should see before it goes away, Cusco and Urubamba Valley. I hope I'm pronouncing those correctly. The area is habitat for giant river otters, monkeys, and an abundance of birds of all types. You can enter by signing up for any of Grist's free email newsletters at www.grist.org. Again, that's G-R-I-S-T.org. Sign up today. Contest ends May 5th. And now for our interview, going to check in with someone who has been on EcoTalk before, Kyle Dotta. He's a senior director and researcher and consultant with the Rocky Mountain Institute, and going to talk about an article that Amory Lovins, the director of RMI, wrote back in Scientific American last fall called Changing Business as Usual, More Profit with Less Carbon. Our smart business and environmental responsibilities have smart business and environmental responsibility finally come together. I think that sentence is probably not quite correct grammatically, but anyway, we get the idea. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Always good to be back and good to be here.
There's been a lot more said recently. We've heard even in the news about companies that are really embracing green, even Walmart, which, of course, is the biggest of them all and probably until very recently seen as the least green. They're trying to be the jolly green giant. We're going to get to Walmart's specific example in a few minutes. But first, tell us, what do you think is behind this greening of corporate America? And is it just a handful of companies? And just because we're hearing about them, it seems like it's really taking hold. Or is there really something underway that a tipping point makes?
Well, we think there's something underway, and I think it's driven by three factors. I think the first is high energy prices are affecting all businesses enough that it's starting to finally get senior management attention. Secondly, there's been growing consumer awareness, I think a demand for greener products and concerns about companies' behavior. And then I think for most of the world, they're taking climate very seriously, and the concerns are serious, and they have penetrated, again, into both business and the rest of society. The high energy prices create, I think, an economic environment where businesses can implement energy efficiency programs and purchase renewable power fuels, and while doing so, save money while lowering their carbon footprint, which makes it that much easier to them to embrace this green wave.
And is it coming, at least in part, from consumer demand? And are citizens writing letters to, you know, companies that make products that they purchase but have some concerns about?
I guess our perspective is that unless something bad has happened, it's not citizen writing campaigns, per se. Although some companies have clearly addressed toxic issues or toxic concerns in their products due to a concern about, you know, a potential accident. But in terms of the more proactive activity, I think it's driven, again, more generally by consumer desires to, in some ways, themselves purchase green because it makes sense for them, too. It's a better product. Like, for example, there was a big question a couple of years back about would American consumers buy hybrids? Would they buy the more efficient car? I think now the high energy prices and the awareness of the Gulf War, the awareness of climate, there's no question. A recent Gallup study said 57% of the people would like to buy hybrids. That clearly has a huge influence on the car companies to build them.
Yeah, if they were more available and they were affordable and they were not necessarily, you know, waiting in line for weeks or months to get a car. Some people, the lease is up and they have to get something and they can't wait around.
That's true. But the pent-up consumer demands means that manufacturers start adding capacity for these kinds of products.
That's right.
Which is the important thing.
That's right. And for those of us who've been fighting for this for years, it appears it finally took record high gas prices to get the shift to happen. But as I say, whatever it takes, right?
Well, that's right. In fact, you know, had the oil prices just been a spike like they were after the first Gulf War, I don't think we'd be seeing this degree of corporate activity, frankly.
You're right. Exactly. It's been seen and covered by the media up until very recently as, you know, gas prices are up now. Demand is up, you know, summer driving season, whatever the reason is, political unrest. But I think what's starting to sink in, and this is critical, is that the high gas prices and high oil prices are here to stay. Everything from peak oil to what's going on, you know, geopolitically, to, the demand from countries like China and India.
That's exactly right. And because I think businesses are now grappling with the strategic reality that we're hitting a new energy plateau and that energy use is also driving the climate concerns, and that ultimately, whether, because they've seen what's happened in Europe, at some point the U.S. will ultimately adopt something which regulates in one way or another or taxes carbon, because you can always see what's happening in California. I think the writing's on the wall. And I think once that starts to happen, then I think businesses start to take action. And we're seeing this through a large number of companies, and the economics are very compelling for them.
Tell us how significant the greening of Walmart is, since they are the largest. Maybe it takes just a couple of big ones to really start that domino effect.
Well, it's a significant effect, and GE is also a significant player, too, and it's from American companies, in a couple of different dimensions. It's not just what they use themselves, but of course they are large companies and they do use a lot, both of them do. But it's also how they're going to affect their suppliers and how they're going to affect consumers. And let me give you an example of sort of how this can work. Walmart is one of the largest buyers of trucks in the United States because they truck a lot of goods. So having them determine that they seek a more efficient truck and they believe it's practical, having them work with the suppliers to get them to sell them the more efficient truck means that suppliers are now also going to offer those trucks to everyone in this country, not just Walmart, which then tips the market. And so, you know, the 2007 truck models are going to be 25% more efficient than the ones we have today, and they're on target over the course of probably the next decade to double trucking efficiency. And, you know, you start to do that, that has a huge impact on the amount of diesel fuel that trucks in the United States are going to use.
Huge. And so by Walmart stating its intention to be carbon neutral and zero waste in the hopefully foreseeable future, that has an impact on vendors like the trucking supply,
exactly.
As you just said.
Walmart can have a huge influence in a couple of areas. They can influence trucks, clearly. They can influence consumer electronics. They can influence cotton. They can influence the amount of packaging and recycling. They can have big influence in certain areas. There's also the other side of the coin, which is what does a retailing giant like Walmart offer consumers? Because, as you know, I think everyone knows from when you walk down any kind of Walmart store, or Target, or Costco, or your supermarket, you know, what you're offered on the shelves has an enormous impact on your purchasing behavior. So if you walk down a Walmart store and you see a lot more efficient light bulbs, or you see, you know, the greener laundry detergents, or you see, you know, a choice of regular organic cotton clothing, all of these, by adding a lot more consumer choices that are green, and because they have such a good supply chain structure, making them green and probably affordable as well, because of their sheer volume buying, that can lead to another adoption where instead of just a niche group of folks buying environmentally conscious products, which is about a sixth to an eighth of America buys them because of those attributes, you can get the mass market buying these products because they're simply there, they're better, they're cheaper, they're available. And, of course, if one big company does it, then their competitors have to match suit, right?
Well, that's
left behind. And that can, lead to another tipping point. So we're seeing the first tipping point in supply upstream, but we're hoping to see the next tipping point in the retailing downstream. And that would be a great the 1-2 punch would be very, very powerful.
Do you think it's always going to be a trade-off, though? You talk about, you know, because Walmart is so colossal that it can make a difference in terms of what it's offering to consumers and impact on vendors. But it's always going to have a huge eco-footprint just because of the sheer number of stores that they not only have but intend to build around the globe, but, you know, just because of the size of their, you know, their stores are huge, so much stuff. So is it always going to be a trade-off, or is there a way to really make Walmart deep green?
It's actually an important philosophical question, and one we've wrestled with. the business model they have is their business model, and it clearly is a business model based on both expansion and scale. There's no question. And it does have negative effects because of the sheer scale and the expansion. There's no question about that, too. I think that the greening of companies like this can partially mitigate some of those effects, but I don't think it changes the fundamental business model per se, although perhaps over a longer period of time it may they may reflect on limits to growth.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And those in the environmental community have sort of watched as Walmart is starting to, you know, talk green and green leanings. And and then you think, okay, well, it's probably greenwashing because it is Walmart. And then you keep hearing more. It's almost like they almost have to come up with as many green initiatives as they are, you know, stores. You know, it's going to take a huge amount, just like Walmart is so huge, to convince many skeptics that, you know, Walmart's really embracing green. What do you think it will take?
Well, I think it takes follow through, and I think it takes persistence. And what I mean by that is, for all big companies like this, whether it's Walmart or GE, or we're also the mining giant Anglo American, or any major company, it's not the one thing you do the 1 year that the CEO focuses his attention on this. It's whether or not you are changing, if you will, the DNA of the company, so that you're really putting in the organizational resources, and this is going to be simply part of how they do business. Mm. I think that's the key thing that, you know, one of the things we wrestle with Walmart, is this going to be a flash in the pan, or are we working with other NGOs and with Walmart themselves to say, we're going to change the way you do business? Because if it's the latter,
we're
then I think
Kyle, we're out of
you'll
time.
See a lot of this.
Sorry, thanks for joining us. Kyle Dotta with Rocky Mountain Institute on Walmart's greening.